more stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint, where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, where you can also email your audio file if you want to record it right there on your smart device and send it to us. You can send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Recording in quiet places is always a good thing.
It's helpful.
It's it helps us hear you better.
Yeah, and maybe not doing 40 things while you're talking.
That's a helpful thing too. Yeah. Yes, it helps to alleviate the ahs and the ums and the all that. But you know, honestly, I will say this: I went through the phone calls earlier in the day for putting together future episodes, and I do it about every other week. I go through and go through the program that grabs all the calls.
Sure.
And then I separate them out into episodes and length and all that stuff. And you know, our audience has really improved over the years, mm-hmm. which is interesting because that's something where I can't say I ever saw an improvement in terrestrial radio, like people just calling the radio station, of those calls ever getting better or getting worse as far as the quality of the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call quality has gone down over the years because of cell phones and digital crap that cut out lines. But really, honestly, I would say that our callers that use that aspect or that medium to share their stories have gotten better.
They have.
There's fewer calls. When I go through it them in bulk and I go, I can't use that because they're too difficult to understand beyond just like digital interference. Those sort of things I have to dump because there's no saving it.
Sure.
If the phone's cutting out. But really, it's like, wow, I get so many good stories now that are usable on the air that it ends up pushing out the calls further, mm-hmm. to when they actually hit the air, because there's just so many that are good and usable. So bravo to everyone.
That's good. That's never a bad thing to have that many.
I'm just amazed by it. I mean, yeah. I don't know why, how that is. Cause there's a lot, it's not like it's always the same people either. There's a lot of folks who have, you know, joined listening to the show in the last several months or year or so. There's, you know, we have a handful of people that call us regularly. But you know, those I can almost always rely on for being really good on the air. But just a lot in that, say, in the last year, an influx of callers that have just been good right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is. I don't know if people are like getting better using phones or what it is. I don't know. I'm kind of baffled by this or why this phenomena is happening.
You know, I don't want to knock our early callers, but maybe it's enough of hearing over and over through listening to stories, mm-hmm. that are told by our listeners, that maybe it's kind of, okay, that doesn't sound the greatest, so I'll make sure not to do this when I call.
You know, and you know, I think for some of our longer time listeners, I think that's true. Mm-hmm. But what gets me is I think some of them are like brand new. So that whole aspect of I've listened and I kind of get it now isn't even part of the equation. I'm just wondering if like if society as a whole or people who are calling into podcasts as a whole, maybe that's just it. Maybe it's just because podcasting has become such a normal thing now and people are using it and experiencing it more than before. Because it just used to be used, if you're listening to talk shows, it was conservative talk radio and that was your only option. So you only have this one group of people. But I'm wondering if it's just people as a whole who are interested in all these topics and enjoy podcasts as a whole are just kind of coming into their own of, okay, communicating better.
It's a skill that the masses have?
Yeah, it's exactly.
Okay.
I'm wondering if that is just happening.
Maybe.
Over the last couple of years. I don't know. I'm wondering. It's an interesting phenomenon, but I'm happy with it. It's a good phenomenon.
Yeah.
So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Brewskis. This is Rob, and I'm from Fort Myers, Florida, and this story actually happens back when I was a bit younger. I'm 29 right now, so I had to be maybe in my earlier 20s, if not 19 when this happened. And this is actually back in my home of Canton, Ohio, where this occurred. And I was hanging out with some friends at, just hanging out at their house, staying the night, and it was like several of us. And honestly, to be honest with you guys, I kind of question as to whether this really occurred or not, because it was more through the perspective of my friends and me, even though I was there. So anyway, it's pretty much late at night. I can't really say how late it was, but all of a sudden I just kind of felt like waking up and I wanted to step outside for a smoke. So I stepped outside with my buddy and a couple of us, and we were at a friend's house who I'll save the fake story. This was at Layla's house. And at Layla's house, we always got together and whatnot, and it just wasn't unusual for us to maybe sometimes get up in the middle of the night and maybe just stand outside for a smoke and just conversate, or just enjoy the night sky, enjoy the night air. And I started to notice that a couple of us, sort of one by one, started to go back into the house. And I attempted to go back into the house, but I was kind of told by one of our friends there that, Layla told you guys to just hang out here for a second, okay? They're just taking care of something. So I thought it was kind of strange, but I didn't think of anything of it. And I can't remember how long we were out there, maybe 30 to 45 minutes. And all of a sudden, I heard this god-awful scream. And honestly, I can't remember if the scream happened before I came back in the house or after. And there is our friend, Kimberly, sort of crying. She's looking at the top of the steps. This is the living room area that led to the kitchen. And at the top of the steps, she kept screaming out that something. And looking up to the top of the steps and screaming and begging and pleading. What is that? What is that? And this girl I know, I've only known her, I've known her only for so long. And at the time, I hung out with her a few times, but whenever I was around Kimberly, she just seemed to be so strong, just to be that strong sort of fiber and moral background of our group, I guess you'd say. And to see her just completely collapse like that with such pain and anguish and just begging in her eyes and her form, it really kind of, it terrified me because I didn't know what was going on. But next thing I know, what happened next was pretty much a whirlwind of everything. Everything just happened, beat for beat, so fast. Next thing I know, all of us, my friends and I, were in Layla's mom's room, and she pulls out the Bible. I can't remember the verse that she read, but I think all of us were, she told us to repeat it or read after her, or take turns reading different verses in the Bible. And next thing I know, I realized that Layla's mom said, "You see that? It's scared. It's gone now. You feel how the air lifted." And I don't know if it was just the fear, or maybe it was legit my body reacting to something. But I could feel that the house felt kind of alleviated. All this tension was gone. And at first, I thought maybe it was just, me feeling everyone else calm down, not just as though there was something there. But I think it was later that night or the following morning, I talked to my friend Layla about, hey, guys, talk to me. What happened? And according to Layla and Kimberly, Kimberly had seen something, some sort of entity, and it looked as if though it was more of a silhouette, a shadowy figure. She couldn't really make out features. At least not terribly too much, if I recall correctly, but she remembers that the outline was that of horns, and that there was two burning red eyes at the center where the head would be. And Kimberly freaked, and that's why Kimberly freaked out, because she saw something. And the messed up part is that Kimberly had never seen this thing before. Whatever she had seen, Layla had fallen years ago, before maybe they even before even her and Kimberly became friends. And this was from when she was playing with a Ouija board with a friend at the time, and she saw this entity. She saw this entity, and I don't know the details of that, but it was thought to be long since gone. However they did it, they got rid of it or casted it out. But that night, Kimberly saw it. And I don't know. It's been so long since it happened. It seems kind of like of a dream. Because whenever I would go over to Layla's house, you know, I would always get kind of tipsy and whatnot. So it wouldn't be out of the question for me to have imagined it. But I've never once ever hallucinated anything when I was ever tipsy, not at all. At the very most, I would just be kind of drunk. And I had enough common sense to fall asleep if I was doing something stupid. I felt completely coherent. I felt completely sober when this happened, and I remember being terrified out of my mind. Now, I could have been terrified because maybe of the hysteria that was going around, and it sort of affected me because I didn't have no clue what was going on. All I had was everybody's panic emotion to sort of go off of. But even though I don't talk to them, Layla anymore, which is regrettable. At the time when I knew her, she was never one to lie. Never. In all the years I've known her, she's always a forward and honest person. And for her to make something like this up doesn't seem like she would be pulling a prank. Because, I mean, one of the strongest people I know because of what was happening, the strongest person that I know, Bear, we call him Bear because he's such a big guy. While he may be the gentle giant of the group, the guy's a giant, so if anyone ever messed with us, because all of our friends at the time, we all considered each other family. And, you know, if anyone had to, you know, get his hands roughed up, he would be the guy to, you know, depend on. And here he was, this mountain of a man, you know, he's actually younger than me. This mountain of a man who seems so much stronger than any of us, physically wise. He sort of broke down because he started crying at the fact that, you know, he's strong, but he couldn't protect, you know, these people who he considered family. And when it got that close to home, that's when I kind of realized that this wasn't a joke, this wasn't a prank. There was something that they had, there was a door they had opened years ago. And however they did it, I don't know, because Layla's family is close with a Wiccan practitioner who I'm pretty sure they called on to get rid of this thing, and she's supposed to be one of the strongest out there. So if she cast it out, but it found its way in a sense back to Layla through her friend Kimberly, what was it? Still to this day, I know what it was. But for it to have a latch onto her like that through life, like, why? Why this thing? Why again? Why now? Why her? And I never really figured out what it was or whatever the case was, but it's been gone now, and they got rid of the Ouija board. And as far as I know, life has been as normal as it gets for them. Anyway, that's my first spooky encounter that was kind of indirect. I actually have one more story for you guys, which is a bit more lighthearted, and you might like this a bit more. It's definitely a confirmation that I had a face-to-face encounter with something out there, but it was actually a lot closer to home than I thought. Anyway, love the show, guys. I've been a big fan. Hopefully when my money gets right, I become, a bonus EPP, EPP. You guys take care. Peace.
He wants to be a bonus EPP himself.
Okay.
Like, be an episode himself. I don't know. I think he meant be a member. I think that's the word he was looking for.
You know, who knows why it decided that particular night to kind of come back, but I almost wonder if he could feel there was something off and that's what woke him up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe thinking he just needed a smoke or something, but maybe that's why he was awake at that time. Something just felt wrong.
Something triggered it.
Mm-hmm.
Or triggered his awareness.
Yeah.
And then God knows what happened. You know, it could be something that I think I'd be freaking out too if I did ever experience something like that where it's just so vivid. And especially if you kind of had a run-in with it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You thought, oh, it's gone and done and it was really troubling and oh, now it's back. Yeah, I could. It doesn't have to be like something that looks like it's out of a horror movie with, you know, zombie face or anything. If it's just some weird dark entity that shouldn't be there,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do good with that.
I think horns and red eyes would freak me out.
It would freak me out, but it doesn't have to be that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be some sort of mist, really, and I think I'll be
squealing.
I'll be misting my pants.
Okay.
Sounds
good.
Or more than that, if I encounter that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Adriana, and I'm calling from Chicago, or like the Chicagoland area. I just had a story to tell. So I've been like a long-time listener. I've never called in before. I'm a little nervous. This is my first time calling in. I've always been into the paranormal, but I've never really had like any personal experiences that were, that I guess like I could say for sure it was like something paranormal or a ghost or something like that. But I have a story to tell that happened to my mom. My mom has told me this story numerous times. She doesn't really talk about it anymore. As much. My parents are really religious, so she kind of thinks that maybe, or she kind of says now that maybe it was nothing, or, you know, they don't really believe. I grew up not believing in ghosts. Like, they always told me that, you know, they were like demons and things like that because they're really religious. So this happened in Mexico in my dad's mother's house and my grandma's house. And my dad has always told me that things, growing up in the house with, like, my aunts and uncles, that things would kind of make, like, sorry if I'm not making sense. You would hear kind of, like, noises in the house. You would hear things. They would sense things. But they didn't really know if it was, like, paranormal or anything. That's just what my dad tells me. No other aunts and uncles have really told me that they've experienced these things. But something happened to my mom, or my mom had an experience when I was a baby. So my dad is from a state called Guanajuato in Mexico. My dad's town that he's from was founded in like 1604, something like that. Of course, it could be like tied to the land, not necessarily like buildings and things like that, because of course it was like native people there before like the Spanish settled in Mexico. But my dad's town is pretty old, so I'm assuming my grandma's house is pretty old. So the layout of the house is a little weird. It's similar to a lot of houses in Europe and Spain. They kind of like have a little courtyard in the middle of the house. It doesn't really have a ceiling. It's just like a little garden area, and that's how my grandma's house is. There's a staircase that kind of winds upstairs, and the staircase is actually in that little open garden area, so it's exposed to like the outside. So if it's raining and you have to go upstairs, you're going to get wet. Right near the staircase, there's like a well, and the well's used for, I'm not really sure what it's used for. I think it's it pumps water from the well to the shower, and also, like, if you want to water flowers and things like that, it's just, like, a little well. So my mom woke up around 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was crying, and she was going to make me a bottle. She said she woke up, and she walked out of the bedroom that my parents were staying in, and she walked across the sitting area. There was, like, a sitting area upstairs, like a little living room, and it had a big window, and the window looked down into the garden area. So my mom crosses the sitting area, and she's at the top of the stairs, and she says she feels like a sense of dread. Like, she feels very uneasy, like something tells her to not go downstairs. And when she's standing at the top of the stairs, she hears, like, she explained it, like, she said she heard, like if somebody had, like, a cup or a bowl, and they were kind of, like, you know, getting water from the well, like, I don't know how to explain it, but they were, like, you know, putting the cup in the water in the well and then taking water out. But she said that she would, like, you would hear the cup go into the water, and then it sounded like the cup or the bowl was being scraped up against the well, or like at the bottom of the well. So you would hear like, but she said it didn't sound like a cup was kind of like banging against the well. It sounded like somebody was getting water from the well. And then she said that she heard like a dog howling in the distance, which could be a coincidence because there's like, you know, dogs and stuff like that. But she said, like, she felt really, really uneasy, and she felt really, really scared, and she just ran back into the bedroom, and she doesn't really specify, like, what happened after that, but she kind of, like, laughs and says, well, I didn't make you your bottle that night. And my mom, every time she tells that story, it's, like, nothing ever changes, so it's, like, consistent. And she says, I don't know what it was, but I just remember I was really, really scared, and I know I heard what I heard. And when you cross that sitting area and you're at the top of the stairs, if anybody is downstairs, you're able to see the light shine out into the garden area. So if somebody was in the kitchen, if somebody was in the bathroom, you would be able to see it. And she said it was pitch black. Like, nobody was downstairs. Everybody was asleep. So, so I guess that's my story. I have a couple other stories that my dad has told me. And then I have some stories that happened to my older sister at a friend's house. But, like, nothing really paranormal has happened to me, but it has happened to, like, my sisters and, like, what my dad talks about happened in the house when he was younger. Sorry if I was a little nervous. It didn't make sense. But, that's my story. Thank you.
Maybe it's because it is a well and there's water in it, that whatever it is can only, you know, be present around that well.
Okay.
And it's just perpetually getting water out of the well forever.
Is it something that died in the well, fell into the well?
I don't know.
Is it like the Goonies?
I don't know. I'm wondering if it's just a residual.
Just something that's there, just kind of passing through.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. What if you're drilling a well, and what if you disturb a grave as you're drilling the well, but you're unaware of this, and then all the water has to flow through the grave?
That is gross. I have no idea.
I bet that shit happens all the time, and nobody is aware.
That's something new to worry about.
It is.
Yeah.
Start thinking about that.
No.
Every time you turn on that tap, just think of the new Brita grave filtered water system.
Mm-hmm.
It's filtered through the ones you loved.
Oh, that's gross.
that's horrible.
Yeah.
855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, you're on the air. It's your story.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Erica again from El Paso, Texas. I left a recording a couple of days ago, and I'm calling again with another story. Now, this story is based out of Mexico. It happened in Mexico, where my family, my mother's side of the family is from. So, okay. First of all, this happened in my grandmother's house. My grandmother's house is extremely, extremely old. My grandma passed already, but she was born in 1904, and she actually grew up in this house. So it's probably 1800s, mid-1800s or so, maybe early 1800s, and this house is still around. Now, just a couple of details of the house. This house, the way it was set up was when you walked in, it's basically two rows of rooms just straight back. So in other words, you walk in, there's like a little entrance area, like a foyer, and right after that, you go through these huge wooden, old doors, and there's like a little courtyard, and then you go through some other doors, and there's like another, like a back area, like a backyard area, and it goes all the way back. And if you go all the way to the back, there's actually a corral where they used to keep, and I mean, that's all this house is. They used to keep like the pigs and the sheep and whatever animals, you know, they had back then. So that's on that side. But if you go through into the second row of rooms, you go through the living area. There's like a living area. Then you go you make one step into like another bedroom, and then there's another bedroom, and there's a kitchen, and then another two bedrooms back. Now the bathroom is actually on the outside of the house, right next to the corral. That's how old this house is. Like I said, extremely old, and everything is like, now it's like falling apart, but it's like adobe style and the roof is made out of wood. It's just a very old house. Anyway, so like I said, this house, my grandmother was living in it back when she was alive, and my grandma was actually here in Texas with us at the time. And so a cousin of mine, an older cousin of mine, he was actually supposed to be caring for the house while grandma was on vacation with us. Well, he was, but he decided to have a get together or like a more like a drinking party with some of his friends. He's a teacher, he's a professor, and you know, it was a bunch of other guys that he was gonna get together with there at my grandma's house and just kind of hang out there or whatever. And so he did. He invited a few of his friends. Now, I had a little backstory. I used to have an uncle who had passed already at the time. He was an alcoholic, and he gave everybody, he gave my grandmother a very hard time. He was very difficult to care for, and just, you know, a lot of the things that comes with alcoholism. But anyway, at the time, he had already passed, but he used to live there with my grandma. Anyway, back to the get-together. My uncle has this get-together, my cousin, I'm sorry, has this get-together at the house. And they're all there in the living room area, and that's where they decided to drink and all that. And they're sitting there in the living room area, and one of his friends says, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to the restroom." So he says, "Okay, well, you know, straight out the door, all the way to the back, you know, right next to the corral, I can't miss it." So this guy goes to the restroom, takes off, and he's gone for a while, you know, and nobody really says anything. Everybody just carries on, whatever. And maybe about 30 minutes later, they decide, my cousin finally, like, you know what, this guy's taking too long, you know, what happened, did he get lost, did he fall, did he what, you know? So he starts walking back there, but through the inside of the house, and the back door would be out of the kitchen, so he's going back towards the back of the house. And when he's exiting the house through the kitchen, this guy is walking back in, you know, and he's like, "Hey man, where were you? You know, what happened? You were gone forever." And he's like, "Oh, you know what? Sorry, man. I was sitting out here talking to your uncle." And my cousin's like, "What do you mean talking to my uncle?" And he says, "Yeah, I was talking to your uncle Roman." And, now Roman was my uncle who passed away, who was an alcoholic, and he had passed. He'd already passed about 10 years prior to this. When this happened. So my cousin's looking at him like, what are you talking about? Uncle Roman, you know, he's dead. What are you talking about? He's not alive. And the guy's like, "Oh, come on, man, you know, whatever, shut up." He's like, "I was just talking to him," and look at this guy, was not spooked at all. But he just said, "But you know what?" He goes, I got some stuff to tell you, man. He says, "You know, he told me a lot of stuff about your mom." And so my cousin's like, "My mom?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "You know, your mom really treats him bad." Well, My aunt, who was my cousin's mom, she married my my uncle, which would have been my, you know, my uncle's brother. And so they were basically brother and sister-in-law. But she had married, and my uncle, her husband, had passed away when they had been married maybe 5 or 6 years. So he passed away very early in life. And when my uncle, the alcoholic, would stop by her house to ask for, like, you know, maybe some water or something to eat because he was on his drinking binge or whatever, she would mistreat him. She would throw him, like, yeah, she would give him food, but she would throw it to him in the dog's bowl, or, you know, she would make him eat off the floor, or she would just do really horrible things towards him. And my uncle was telling all this to this guy, and he was telling him, you know, yeah, you know, she, you know, my sister-in-law, she used to really treat me bad, and she used to do this to me and do this to me or whatever. And this guy's thinking, wow, you know, I know this lady. She doesn't seem like she's a bad person, but wow. So he's telling my cousin, you know, hey, you know, did your mom really do all that? And my cousin's like, no, of course not. My mom's not like that, or, you know, no. He says, but you know what, man? I don't like this. You know, my uncle passed away 10 years ago, and there's no way in hell you were talking. So he says, yeah. He says he came out of the corral. He says, I was going into the restroom. He says, and I'm sorry, I was coming out of the restroom, and he was coming out of the corral. He says, and he said hi to me. He said, hey, are you, you know, my cousin's name is Ugo. He says, oh, so you're Ugo's friend. And he says, he introduced himself. He was very nice. He was just, he says, just plain as day, he was there. I mean, no, he's not dead. So once my cousin kind of convinced him that, hey, you know what, there is no, my uncle's dead, whatever, he kind of got everybody together and that they left the house. Well, it turns out that the next day my cousin goes to his mom's, and he's like, okay, mom, I got to ask you something. I don't think you would ever do this. I don't believe this about you, but you got to tell me, when Uncle Roma was alive, did you ever do this, this, and this to him? And my aunt broke down crying, and she was like, oh, my God, you know, I've asked for forgiveness for so, you know, for so many things I did to him. I was so mean to him. I was young. I was stupid, and I used to really mistreat him. And so it turned out that everything that my uncle's ghost told this guy, everything was true. And none of this would have been brought to light. Like, my aunt would have never fessed up to it or said anything about it because, well, one, she had already, you know, she had changed her ways, and she was not that horrible person as she was back in the days. But, I mean, it was all brought to light because of this, you know, ghost of my uncle that this guy saw. So, yep, very strange, creepy, and we all, whole family tends to believe it because there was no other way that we would have known about this, that my uncle had been treated that way by her. But I hope you guys like the story, and I'd be interested in hearing what you guys think. Appreciate your time. Love the show, and I'll call back some other time. Thank you.
That's one way for secrets like that to come out.
That's a great story, because there's no way that guy would have known anything about that.
No. I
mean, the family didn't even know about that. That was just between the, you know, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It's a good way of legitimizing the story, too.
Yeah.
Of, is this guy just weird? Is he just saying stuff?
Or he have too much to drink?
Yeah. I mean, to connect those dots and then have it confirmed, like, nope, it sounds like he was still hanging around talking. So, creepy stuff. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name is Erica. I'm calling from El Paso, Texas. I'm driving at the moment, so I hope the background noise is not too bad. But I have a story I'd like to share with you all. This happened to me about 20 years ago. It's not the only thing that's ever happened to me, but it's one of the creepiest. About 20 years ago, I would have been around maybe 17, 16 years old. And I used to have a cat named Diva. And my cat Diva, she used to sleep with me in my room, you know, actually on top of me, every night. So let me also add, I've always been one of those people that like to sleep in pitch dark. So I would actually put thumbtacks into my curtains in order, you know, into the wall in order to keep my room as dark as possible. But anyway, I was I got, you know, I got home and I was going to go to bed. So I started looking for the cat and, you know, I was calling out to her and she wouldn't come. So I just thought, okay, you know what? I'll just go to bed and, you know, she'll scratch my door when she's ready to come in. So that's exactly what I did. I got into bed and I lay down, and maybe about 3 minutes after laying down, I felt Diva jump onto me, you know, jump onto my, to the bed, and, you know, actually walk up onto my chest. And I thought, oh, okay, well, she was probably hiding under the bed or in the closet or something. I was not surprised at all. So, you know, she started doing that thing the cats do, you know, kneading my chest and purring, you know, getting ready to get comfy or go to sleep. And I started to pet her. So I was petting her, and I was just kind of talking to her a little bit. And so then I stopped and I let her try to go to sleep. Then all of a sudden she started purring a lot louder. She started actually kneading her little paws into my chest a lot more forcefully. And it started to become very, very uncomfortable. So I kind of started to try to, you know, have her stop. I started pressing down on her and just kind of like, stop, okay, that's enough, okay, Diva, that's enough. And the more I would push her off of me, the harder she would knead, you know, her little feet, her little paws, and the harder I could, you know, the more I could feel her claws. So, you know, I finally was like, okay, that's enough, stop. And when I reached, you know, over, trying to grab her feet off of me, she bit me. And, I mean, it wasn't just like a little, you know, like a little small bite. It was like a very hard, forceful bite. And I got so pissed, you know, I hit her. And I hit her hard enough to where I actually heard her hit my closet door. Now, my closet door was probably about maybe 2 or 3 feet from the foot of my bed. So she must have flown a good 5 to 6 feet. And I heard her hit the closet, and then I heard scratching at my door. So I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm letting you out. You know, I was like, I don't know what the hell got into this stupid cat. But so I got up, and as I opened my hallway door, I'm sorry, as I opened my bedroom door, I see Diva on the outside of my room. So she was actually in the hallway trying to get in. And, wow, when I saw this, I freaked out. I turned on my light. I turned around. I'm looking around like, what the hell was in my room? What the hell was that? I look at my hand, and sure enough, I have what looked like a cat bite or, you know, little teeth on my hand. And I look at my chest, and I have the little claw marks in my chest. She had actually drawn, or the thing or whatever the hell it was, had actually drawn a little bit of blood out of my chest. Not my hands, but my chest. I could actually see a little bit of blood drawn from where the nails or the claws would have hurt me. So, I don't know, needless to say, I did not sleep in my room for a few nights, probably a week, and I didn't sleep very well that night at all. My cat would not go into my room after that. My cat stayed with me, and eventually I ended up moving into the guest bedroom, and that bedroom was just basically left as the guest bedroom. So, I don't know, crazy thing that happened. Very scary. I'm not sure what you all think. I don't think it's a ghost cat. Sounds more like a demon cat. But I never saw anything else in that house. Of course, I didn't live there too much longer, maybe about 6 months after that. But I don't know. But that's my story. And thank you guys for everything. I love, love, love your show. You guys are awesome. I've been listening to y'all for about a year. And the shows just keep getting better and better. So we appreciate you all. And I'll call back in the future with another story, okay? Thank you all. Take care.
I can just imagine the feeling of her stomach dropping when she opened the door and saw the cat was on the outside.
Like, wait a second.
What just was nibbling on me? And
yeah.
Oh, God.
I hate that when you don't know what's nibbling on you.
Yeah, because you have that happen so
it's
often.
It's a confusing feeling.
Right. No, I think I would be convinced that there was some other animal in the house.
And yeah, I think I was like just petting a possum or something. Yeah. And, you know, because, you know, I mean, I get it. It's dark. You're like, oh, it's a normal routine for the animal, or some stray cat or something got in. And,
yeah.
And clearly, you know, she heard it hit the door.
Mm-hmm.
And but then gone. That's, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't know what would be worse, actually seeing something like human or that where you really interacted with it for quite a bit and you actually have, you know, marks.
I think the marks, yeah. And not having seen it.
Yeah. Because I would still be thinking there's something living in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where did it go? What did it, you know, crawl into to hide? I don't know. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi there. My name is Amanda. I decided I'd call in a story that I've been kind of sitting on for a while, but I'm kind of eager to share it now. So when I was in college, I was interested in the Innocence Project, which works to exonerate people for crimes they didn't commit. And I came upon the story of the lipstick killer, a.k.a. William Hirons. And in doing so, I started writing him letters because I became very convinced of his evidence after reading some books about him, articles, watching videos about him. And so we corresponded for quite a while, I'd say probably 2 years, 3 years. And I'd get birthday cards from him. And after researching more about the case, I discovered that he was one of the most successful inmates in the Dixon Correction Facility. So fast forward a little bit, and I came home, and it was Memorial Day of 2012, and my mom and I are getting ready to go for this picnic that we always go to. And I have little kids running around and the phone rings. And the phone call is from St. Pius Priory out of Chicago. And I don't recognize the number. And so I look at my mom and we're just like, let it go to the answering machine. Well, when the answering machine picks it up, an old man gets on. And he says, Mandy, it's about 10 o'clock here in Chicago. Just calling to see if you still want to come for that visit. If so, I'll arrange to have it picked up. Have you picked up at the train station? And so I look at my mom and I'm like, "Who is this guy?" You know, and she starts jumping. She's like, "It's William Hirons." And I'm like, "Oh my God, he must be released," because at this point, he had aged quite a bit. There was a lot of skepticism about his guilt, and so I thought maybe, you know, he was released into some sort of compassionate care, and maybe it was like a facility, like a Catholic priory. So I hop online to look and see if he had in fact been released, and I find out that he had died 2 months prior. So I was shaking at that point, and I listen to the message again, and then I go and I listen to interviews of him, and it's very close in his voice. So pretty convinced that I got a ghostly phone call. I also called back the priory, and they told me that there was only one guy there. He was younger, and it was Memorial Day, so he never called me from that priory. So kind of an interesting story, and if you want to hear the recording, I still have it saved, so be happy to share that as well. Thank you for hearing my story.
I want to hear the recording.
I knew you would. I think I'm scared, too.
I'm going to make it my ringtone.
That's so, so scary.
The ringtone of the dead.
Wow.
That is very, very creepy. Yes, please do email that in, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And I can forward it over to Jenny with a headline on the email saying kitten video. And
I will never, ever watch another kitten video that you supposedly send to me.
Look at this kitten video. What is this? It's the dead guy's voicemail.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That is creepy as hell. It is one of those stories where you can almost predict the next step of what was going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sure went down that road. So thank you for that. That was good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up over there at ghostpodcast.com. EPPBonus.com. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our EPP bonus episodes. Almost 170 something or so in there. Exclusive video content and more. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com and help keep us on the air if you like this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.